This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
In the news this month, gravitational wave rumours abound, great red spot shrinks, and astronomers open a discussion about sexual harassment. Following its reopening, as discussed on last month's Jodcast, the LIGO Gravitational Wave Observatory has already this month generated an exciting, plausible rumour of a detection of a gravitational wave event. Arizona State University cosmologist and science communicator Lawrence Krauss was the first to publicly comment on a rumour which had already been circulating amongst scientists, tweeting, "Amazing if true, we'll post details if it survives." Such a detection would indeed be amazing, representing the first time a gravitational wave has been directly detected, confirming a major prediction of Einstein's general relativity and providing immediate return on LIGO's $200 million recent overhaul and upgrade. The LIGO collaboration themselves were understandably coy about the rumour, with spokesperson Gabriela Gonzalez from Louisiana State University in Baton Rouge stating, "The official response is that we're analysing the data. The status of the rumour is interesting. It could be true, false, or both." The last strong rumour of a gravitational wave detection by LIGO was in 2010, during a data collection run by the pre-upgrade observatory. This detection was real. LIGO scientists had seen it in their data, it had met their criteria for being classified as real, as opposed to a statistical fluke or a mistaken noise event, and the collaboration had even written two scientific papers describing it, which were complete and ready to be published. Unfortunately, whilst the data was real, the gravitational wave signal was not. The data, corresponding to that expected from the merger of a black hole binary system, was simulated data injected into the streams coming from LIGO's two instruments in Hanford, Washington, and Livingston, Louisiana. That this event was a so-called blind injection was known to only three members of the 900-person collaboration. That the blind injection procedure existed was known to the whole collaboration, however, so there was not too much disappointment when it was revealed at a conference to have all been a drill. Such blind data challenges are invaluable in testing equipment, data analysis methods, and also the mentality of scientists, proving that the methods work and that the people involved are capable of avoiding factors such as confirmation bias, in which analysts can, even unconsciously, favour data which meets their preconceived expectations. By showing that their analysis pipelines were able to perform correctly on the simulated data, any future real detections by LIGO will be regarded as that much more believable. It is also true that the 2010 test was not a complete success. The detection appeared to be coming from the direction of Canis Major and quickly became known as the Big Dog event. But the simulated signal which had been injected was supposed to correspond to a gravitational wave event in a completely different direction on the sky. The error was quickly traced to a pernicious source known to all physicists. A sign error in some of the code used by the injection team had in fact caused the signal to have been injected upside down. Also in the news this month, analysis of images taken by the Hubble Space Telescope have shown that Jupiter's Great Red Spot has shrunk to its smallest size yet. The Great Red Spot is a distinctive storm which has raged in Jupiter's southern hemisphere for at least 350 years. It is tens of thousands of kilometres across, big enough to swallow more than one whole Earth, and hosts wind speeds of over 250 miles an hour. The spot has, however, been shrinking for several years, with at least a 15% decline in its diameter observed between 1996 and 2006. The latest observations were taken by Hubble in January of this year, as part of a set of images mapping the entire planet twice in a 10-hour period. The atmosphere of Jupiter is a complex and beautiful place, composed mostly of hydrogen and helium, along with methane, ammonia, hydrogen sulfide, water, and more. The atmosphere evolves significantly on even the short timescales covered by the new observations, but the red spot itself rotates around once every 6 Earth days or 14 Jovian days. predicting what will happen to the storm next is hard. Listeners may be familiar with the fact that weather forecasting has significant difficulties even in situ here on Earth. It is understood that Jupiter's climate is changing, with a variation of up to 10 Kelvin expected, and apparently driving new storms such as Oval BA or Red Spot Junior, which formed south of the Great Red Spot in 2000 from several smaller storms known about since the 1930s. And finally, astronomers this month have been reacting to the news of a sexual harassment case involving prominent exoplanet researcher Jeff Marcy. The news was broken when the BuzzFeed news website published that Marcy had been the subject of an investigation by the University of California at Berkeley, his employer, into harassment offences against multiple female students between 2001 and 2010. Reaction from the astronomy community at large has been significant, expressing support for the scientists who were victims and concerns at how UC Berkeley dealt with Marcy's damaging actions. Marcy is an extremely prominent astronomer, notable as being one of the first to discover exoplanets, planets orbiting stars other than our own sun, and was a tenured professor at UC Berkeley, member of the team working on NASA's Kepler satellite, and had recently led the Breakthrough Listen project, awarded $100 million by a private benefactor to look for signs of life on exoplanets. How astronomy deals with harassment by prominent individuals is a significant topic. It is important to remember that the field is in no way immune to sexual harassment incidents. In the case of Jeff Marcy, it took nearly 10 years before a joint complaint was made by four people who had either been victims or witnessed his inappropriate behaviour. At least one of the complainants pointed to Marcy's actions as a strong component in their reasons for leaving astronomy. Much contention has focused on the response from the authorities at UC Berkeley, who only weakly disciplined Marcy, providing expectations on his future interactions with students, which he was to follow or possibly face sanctions in the future. Furthermore, details of the investigation would not have been made public were it not for the BuzzFeed News article. This pattern of long-term transgressions only weakly punished when finally reported supports the widely held perception within academia that institutions can often be reluctant to discipline or remove brilliant scientists who supply considerable prestige and research income. This can lead to senior academics being seen as becoming almost untouchable, contrasting with the dispensable nature of more junior students and postdocs who face fierce competition for short-term contracts in a small community and undergraduates concerned for their academic success. Incidents of sexual harassment and sexism are also frequently pointed to as an underlying cause for astronomy's gender imbalance, which becomes increasingly severe at more senior levels. 2013 data from the AAS Committee on the Status of Women in Astronomy shows a decline in the representation of women as careers progress from around 25% at grad student to around 10% at full professor, replicated in similar data sets from the UK. Similar gender disparities appear in amateur astronomy, with only 9% of Sky and Telescope magazine's subscribers identifying as female and some 14% of Jodcast listeners when last surveyed in 2010. Following the reporting of the case, the wider astronomical community has provided a much stronger and more inclusive response than the formal authorities involved. Statements from the American Astronomical Society, Royal Astronomical Society, some 3,000 astronomy professionals, and UC Berkeley staff, postdocs, and graduate students all condemned Marcy's actions and Berkeley's weak response and supported the victims. In particular, the staff at Marcy's institution commented that they believe he cannot perform the functions of a faculty member in terms of having interactions with students in light of his actions. This has apparently had an effect, with Marcy announcing his resignation from his position at the University of California and in the Breakthrough Listen collaboration. The incident clearly needs to be part of an ongoing process in which astronomy and academia in general becomes more open and better at dealing with harassment complaints. Whilst all major institutions will have anti-harassment policies complying with local laws, these policies are seldom enforced and seen to be enforced, creating an unwelcoming atmosphere for anyone who could be made to feel vulnerable. Hopefully, the news about Jeff Marcy will continue the progress which has already been made in making the astronomy community as open and inclusive as possible.
Thanks for that, Ian.
Now, Charlie and Alex interview Dr. Caroline D'Angelo about pulsars and accretion.